Total Tuscany Podcast, number 30. Ciao, and welcome to another edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast. Good to have you along. I'm Travis Justice, joined by my co-host, the guy who's going to join me in Tuscany in the first week of March. Of course, you know him very well, Mr. Pat Capani. What's up, Pat?
Travis, I'm doing well. Doing well. Yourself?
You know, it's hard to believe we are actually coming up on our one-year anniversary of launching TotalTuscany.com, the Total Tuscany Podcast. This is our 30th podcast. When we set out to do this, I think we had a goal of doing one once a week. We would have liked to have been at number 52 coming up, but still, 30's been a lot of fun. Think about all the people we've talked to in the last year, all the things we've learned over the past year. Number 30, can you believe that?
It's gone quick, and it's really kept us connected in a way that I wasn't expecting.
You know, we've done so many interviews, we've talked to so many people, and you mentioned those connections. We've made connections with people that we've interviewed. We've made connections with people in Florence, people in the Hilltowns, people in Siena. But we've also made connections with people who visit our website regularly. And without people who go to the website and listen to this podcast, we'd be doing this for nothing. And those are the fun connections that we've made.
Yeah, sharing the stories, and everybody's got their own little take on what they like, what they want to see, where they want to go, but you know the string that keeps going through all these stories is everybody wants to go back,
and everybody has this love affair with Tuscany, and we're one of those. And of course, if you want to connect with us on a regular basis, there's many ways to do that. Of course, you could follow this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. That way, when we update it right away, you're going to be updated by iTunes, you're going to be updated by Stitcher, you're going to know right away when the next podcast is out. But we also encourage you to follow us on our social media channels. Like us on Facebook. Just do a simple search of Total Tuscany and follow us on Twitter at Total Tuscany. We have a lot of fun on Twitter. We've met a lot of people on Twitter, and we love being part of social media. We also have a Pinterest account. I'll be honest, my wife is the one that updates that one, so we've got a lot of great pictures of Tuscany, but there's many different social channels to connect with us on, and really feel free to reach out to us on Twitter or Facebook. I think you and I are very quick to respond when somebody asks a question, and that includes on our website, which is TotalTuscany.com. Pretty much the content that you're going to find on TotalTuscany.com is the podcast itself. But there is also a contact section where people all year long have really reached out to ask us questions. Some very complex, some very basic. Some people want advice with going on a tour, but that's been a very good conduit for people to reach out to us.
Yeah, they want to know if they want to go to this part of Tuscany or that, and I think we've been able, it's been fun helping those people.
And one of the things that, you know, we would like to improve upon over the next year as we take the podcast, the website, and our services to yet another level is really taking your questions and formulating content and a podcast around those. And the truth be told, the number one question that you and I get asked through the website is it possible or is it easy to drive in Tuscany? Mm-hmm. And the simple answer to that is absolutely yes.
Absolutely yes. It seems like a daunting challenge to a lot of people, but there's really nothing to be intimidated about.
You have to remember, when you drive in Italy, it's not like driving in Ireland. It's not like driving in the UK where you're on the opposite side of the road. Now, we're coming at this from an American perspective, in that in Italy, you drive on the right side of the road much the same way you do here in the United States.
Yeah, the symbols, the signs, pretty much everything's the same. What we have to get accustomed to is the speed.
It is a little bit faster, and of course, everything is in the metric system, so you have to get acclimated to what they told you was going to take effect in the United States. Remember when you're in second grade, and they said you have to get to know the metric system because it's taking over the world. Well, it still hasn't taken over the United States. Right. We don't work in the metric system, but it's pretty easy to follow. Now, there are a lot of people who take tours. And transportation is provided for you. The number one thing I can tell you about driving in Tuscany, and Pat, I hope you agree with me, is that driving gives you freedom, absolute freedom beyond the constraints of what a regular tour would provide.
Oh, absolutely. And so many times we've taken our trips, we've stayed in the villas, and it's an absolute must to have a car if you're in the villa. And it gives you that opportunity to wake up every morning and say, okay, where do I want to point to? Where do I want to go today? And we've had some huge adventure driving around aimlessly looking for places.
So we're going to go we're going to focus this podcast on driving in Tuscany. It's not just driving about the roads, but go about, you know, really preparing yourself to go on an adventure and how you go about doing that. So once you make that decision of, okay, we are going to rent a car in Italy and Tuscany, and we're going to take on this adventure. First of all, you might be wondering, well, how do I even rent a car in Italy? And it's not as difficult as you may think, and it's very much just like renting a car here in the United States.
Yeah, no, there's really not much of a difference. The one thing that everybody has to realize up front is that unless you're willing to spend a great deal more money and pay a premium, you'll be driving a stick. And I'm one of those individuals that's most challenged in that respect. We've already told that story.
Yeah, and you're right. So when we're talking about a manual transmission or an automatic transmission, and you can get an automatic transmission, just know you're going to pay a premium for that. But where do you start to get a rent-a-car? Well, there's a number of ways you can do it. If you're going through a travel agent, the first time we went to Italy, the first time we went to Tuscany, we used the services of a travel agent to book our rent-a-car. So that would be a first place to start. And they get pretty good rates. They'll be able to help you out. A travel agent is a very good place to start with that.
Yeah, it was a seamless transition. If you've ever rented a car in the United States, It's basically the same process.
The second time that you and I went to Tuscany with our wives, we actually booked the car through Expedia. We didn't use a travel agent at that time. And I know a lot of people are going, you booked international travel through Expedia? And I'm going to be honest with you, the last three times that I've gone to Tuscany, I've used Expedia for everything. I've had very good luck. Now, I understand there's going to be, and this is coming from our perspective, you're going to have good and bad experiences probably with any kind of service. But we have booked our flights and we have booked our rental cars through Expedia. And we've had tremendous luck just booking everything ourselves. So don't be afraid when you say, hey, do you want to add a car in Florence or if you want to add a car in Pisa to do that, because you can trust the rental car and you can trust Expedia that way. At least that's been our experience.
No doubt. In fact, one of the first things that I was concerned about was, you know, first time we came over to Italy, our language wasn't, our Italian wasn't that sharp. Would we be able to interact well with the ticket agents at the rental car? That was not a problem. Every place we've been, the car rental facilities, those people all spoke English. Everything was worked out well.
Now, you need to keep a couple of things in mind when you're renting a car in Tuscany, and that is where you're going to rent your car, because there's a number of places you can fly into. You can fly to Rome and access Tuscany easily, but our experience would be this. If you're just going to spend a day in Rome and then head to Tuscany, I would take the train to Rome and I would fly into Florence. I'd fly into Pisa. I've rented a car, or you and I have rented a car in Rome. You and I have rented a car in Florence. I've rented a car in Pisa. I will tell you, getting in and out of the Florence airport and getting in and out of the Pisa airport is much simpler, much less of a headache than getting out of Leonardo da Vinci airport in Rome.
Well, the traffic was just intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, if you're not accustomed to big city traffic, that would be a pretty strong learning curve.
Yeah. That's a learning curve, and it can be a bit nerve wracking, especially if you're on your first trip to Italy. But flying into Florence was not that big of a problem. I mean, that was a much smaller airport. Access to the interstate system was a lot easier. And same with Pisa. Mm-hmm. So if you're making that first trip and you're going, where do I want to rent my car? Make sure to either do it at the Florence airport or the Pisa airport. Or there are also towns where you can have a rent-a-car pickup. Which leads us to the next thing, and that is driving. And you're going to get a lot of advice on this. And we may be totally wrong, but we're going to give you what has happened to us. The number one, you know, our big worry was, do we need an international driver's license? If you Google searching in, you know, if you Google search driving in Europe, you need an international driver's license. From our perspective, Pat, and you're a lawyer, we don't need, and we never have needed, an international driver's license.
You know, no one has ever asked to see an international license. Not the ticket agent, nowhere.
Nowhere.
And that was something that just was thought about, and then we moved past that.
They asked to see our driver's license, and we handed them the driver's license of the state that we reside in, right. But they never said, well, this is not an international driver's license, it's another fee. Right. What they asked for was driver's license and credit card. Mm-hmm. As long as they knew they were going to get paid for the rent-a-car, that's what they got.
Next question.
Yeah, so if you're worried about an international driver's license, I can tell you from our perspective, we have never had one, we have never needed one, and you don't need to go get one when you're in Tuscany.
And if you decide you're going to do it anyway, I think it was a $10 fee. It wasn't anything substantial, but I think it's just $10 that you're going to give to somebody and then never use it.
Now, rent-a-car companies are no different in Europe than they are in the United States. And that is, once you make that rental, you're going to be asked, do you want to buy full coverage insurance? And the first time we were in Tuscany, we both opted for the full coverage insurance because we really didn't know how everything worked. But after further review, and I know the second time you and I went, and when I went to 2 years ago, I opted not to get the insurance because, and I'm not telling you not to do this, but I'm asking you to do a little bit of homework. And that is, check with your credit card company, because my credit card company, in which I rent the car through, has full coverage insurance on the credit card. So if I use that credit card and anything happens to the car, the credit card has the rent-a-car insurance for me. So I knew, I think I was using a Capital One at that point, or I was using my Expedia MasterCard. But one of those cards that I know had full coverage insurance. So do some homework. Check the credit card company that you're using. You don't have to purchase that full coverage insurance.
Definitely do the homework. They could have changed it, but the last time I looked, American Express, their full coverage doesn't apply in Italy. And so then don't presume, just check with your credit card company before you leave the States and or wherever you're coming. And another good point, not just with rental car, but with all of your purchases, before you leave the States, let your credit card company know you're going to be flying internationally and traveling so that you don't have any problems with your
own. And it's a very quick phone call. I mean, obviously, every credit card company is different. All the services they offer are different. But make sure when you do have a credit card, I would only get one that does not charge foreign transaction fees. It's very easy to find. And also, just make a quick call. Say, hey, I'm going to Tuscany. Is the auto insurance that coverage, and they'll give you a quick yes or no, and it's that simple. Cool. Also, and you could probably ask your own auto insurance provider if the car you're driving in Europe, if you're covered under your own insurance. So are there answers out there? Yes, but you're going to have to do a little bit of homework, and that is make the phone calls to the credit card companies, make the phone calls to your own insurance agent, and they should be able to provide you answers. And why we're talking about insurance, just because I want to bring it up, don't be afraid of trip insurance. Get trip insurance. Protect yourself. I can tell you that Pat and I, we just booked to Tuscany. We're going to be there the second week of March. We both purchased trip insurance, travel insurance, that covers reimbursements, say we got sick or anything got lost. But what was it for each person, because our wives are going with us, it was like $70 a person.
Very inexpensive, and it just takes a whole load off of your mind.
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things, protect yourself with travel insurance. It's a very low investment when you consider the overall price of the trip that you're going to be going on. So you don't need an international driver's license. Check into how you will be covered insurance-wise, either with your credit card or with your own insurance, before you opt to purchase that full coverage insurance while you are in Tuscany. And we already mentioned the manual versus automatic. There is a cost involved with that, but I think what you need to really prepare yourself for is the size of the car that you're going to get. You know, in the United States, it's very easy to get a very large car. In fact, and we're not saying you can't rent vans and you can't rent really large vehicles, but if you do, you're going to feel like
you'll feel out of place.
You'll feel out of place. The cars that we've rented are what I would say would be small, a Fiat 500, and we also rented...
Well, there were some Volkswagens.
There were some Volkswagen. When we had a bigger group, we had a car that sat five, and it was a hatchback.
It was an Alfa Romeo.
Yeah, you had an Alfa Romeo. This last time I went, I had a Fiat 500. Just understand that your cars are going to be a little bit smaller. Mm-hmm. And
your petrol is going to be a lot more expensive.
Yes. When you see this great price on the road at the gas station, you go, man, gas is cheap. Now, they're selling that by the liter. Just be aware they're selling that by the liter, not the gallon. Mm-hmm. And there's a big difference when you...
That sticker shock really hits.
Yes.
But
the good thing is the cars are so small.
They're small. You don't actually use... We've found that we haven't filled up a lot. We've done a lot of traveling. We've seen a lot of wonderful places in Tuscany. Spent a lot of time on the road because it just takes a while to get to from one location to the next. But we really haven't used that much gas. And it hasn't been that big of a problem.
So you've now decided that you want to drive in Tuscany. You now know that it's okay to rent a car. You now know that you can get full insurance, or you can see if your own insurance company covers you or your credit card. Protect yourself even more by a GPS device.
That's an absolute must.
It is an absolute must. I will tell you that driving in Tuscany is simple. Once you get done with it, you're like, okay, that's fairly simple. But you do need a GPS device. Now, there's a couple ways you can go about this. You can rent one from the rent-a-car company. Mm-hmm. You can bring your own, which Pat has done. But Pat, what's the number one thing you have to do when you bring your own from the United States?
So you have to go to your website and you have to upload the most recent updates, right? Because that map will change, and take it from somebody who's been directed by the GPS to someplace we didn't want to be. You know, it's an absolute requirement. And roads were out, bridges were out. Update your GPS.
Update your GPS, but also keep in mind that if you purchase your GPS in the United States, it may not have international maps on there. So make sure, and it's a very quick check, to make sure you have international and European maps on your GPS. So I believe that was an extra cost, a small extra cost, wasn't it, for European maps or not?
It was maybe $20.
$20. So make sure that you have the maps of Italy and Tuscany and really the international scene, and that will help you out. But will it be 100% accurate? The answer is no. But it points you in the right direction. You'll understand most of the signs when you're over there. It's very easy to pick up on the road signs. You'll know what, you know, the speed limit signs. You'll know slow down. There's a lot of things that are very similar to the United States, not the same, but similar, that you'll pick up very quickly on.
There was one traffic feature that we had to do some work with that first trip. You remember the number one the most difficult track was. What would you say? What was it?
Well, I forget.
The roundabouts.
The roundabouts, yes. The roundabouts would throw you because you didn't quite know which roundabout exit to get off of. So you found yourself going around in circles a couple times.
Well, and the names of the roads and the name of the exit is so long that by the time the GPS has told you in an English or an American accent what the name of the road is to take it, you've already passed it.
It's funny because I remember leaving the Pisa airport and driving to Volterra and your maps, and I borrowed your GPS for the trip, and the maps hadn't been updated yet. And we were in a similar area, but we got into a roundabout. We had to do this. Unfortunately, we missed the exit three times
around,
and we had to go back 15 miles each time to redo it because we didn't know. We found ourselves back on the interstate going the opposite way, heading back to the Pisa airport, coming back. We had to do that three times. Now, that would be very frustrating, and it can be get your blood boiling. Mm-hmm. Here's my number one advice about driving in Tuscany. A, you can do it. B, enjoy getting lost and screwing up, because they will provide you some of the best memories you can ever imagine.
Some funny memories. And your spouse or your friend that's with you, just take it as an adventure. It doesn't have to, you're not in that much of a hurry. Remember, They're driving in a hurry, but once you get there, it's going to be relaxing anyway.
Yeah, so just, you know, make sure to have a GPS device. Now, this is an important thing to keep in mind, because most of us now will use the GPS on our phone. If you're going to use your phone, talk to your cell provider or your digital provider before you leave, because data roaming charges are astronomical. Don't just turn your phone on and use the GPS, because your bill could be absolutely shocking when you get it. Make sure to protect yourself. In fact, I don't even use my cell phone when I'm over there. I really disconnect myself from the rest of the world because I don't want any data roaming charges. I try to find myself a free Wi-Fi spot. But I would recommend not using, unless you have a total international data plan, don't use your phone as your GPS device. If you don't have a Garmin, then rent one from the rental car company. Don't use your phone, because there could be hidden fees and hidden costs that you can't even imagine.
Yeah. And I just spoke with my cell carrier this week, and there are some really nice data plans now that weren't available a couple of years ago, a little bit more cost efficient. But Why use your priceless data when you're there to get around when the Garmin does that all for you?
Yeah, and there's really no reason to use your phone, because that will eat up a lot of data. So just make sure to, when you plan your trip, let your cell phone company know that you're going, purchase some data. But when you get a Garmin for your rent-a-car, either bring your own or rent one from the rent-a-car company. It makes it so much easier, and it's going to be a lot cheaper in the end. So now you've rented your car. You've got your insurance, you've got your GPS device ready to go. Now it's time to drive in Tuscany. And once you enter the address, that GPS will take you pretty much where you want to go. And as we said earlier, you're driving on the right side of the road. And one of the biggest questions we get, is it like the Autobahn in Germany? And the answer is no. There is a speed limit, and I'm going to use the A1 as the reference, because that's basically the interstate system that you and I use when we're there. You know, you get on the A1, there is still a speed limit to driving in Italy.
Yeah, there were some vehicles that were flying down the A1, but as long as you keep your eyes out and pay attention to the motorcycles and stay in the right lane, you're going to be good. That's the signage is what you really have to pay attention to. And you know, how many times, for example, going into the city of Florence, there's days in the roads go one direction at one time of the day and another direction the other time of the day. Vehicles are counted as they come into the city. So you have to familiarize yourself when you're going into these major cities, how to get in and how to get out. That's not something that the Garmin's necessarily going to tell you.
You know, we drove in Florence. I found that be careful with that, because every time that Pat has gotten two traffic tickets mailed to him here in the States.
After the fact.
After the fact, and they'll get you for that. And we went back to where we got the ticket from in Florence, and we were flabbergasted. We only parked in like a no parking zone for like 30 seconds. And that was only to ask a question of where the rent-a-car return was, and we still got a ticket. Mm-hmm. I think it was either by a surveillance camera or something. I forget, because you and I were sitting in the car, or my wife and I were sitting in the car. Nobody came up and gave us a ticket. They mailed it to us. So be careful when you're driving in the cities, and also where to park. When we drove into Siena, we chose to park on the outside in a public parking lot, so we knew exactly what we were doing. Same when we drove over to Assisi. I know that's not in Tuscany, but we parked in a public lot, went up to the city, and that made it a lot easier.
Yeah, the hilltop towns, absolutely. You park outside of the city walls and just walk in. It's more fun that way anyway.
It's more fun that way anyway, and you really can't park inside the city walls, because they're so protected, they're so touristy, they're so narrow. When I stayed in Volterra 2 years ago, I had a 10-minute pass to drive to my apartment, unload my luggage, and then I had to get back out of the city because they would have come and towed the car away. Plus, it's those in the hill towns, the streets are so narrow. They're really built for one car and a very small car. It's easier when you visit these hill towns. There's plenty of public parking on the outside of the walls. Just park there and use that as your starting
point.
Well,
and it's most respectful. We're guests. We're guests in these people's lives and their towns, And there's so few parking spots. Let them take them.
You know, we mentioned narrow roads. You're going to find those in the hill towns, but you're also going to find them just when you're driving the countryside. Don't expect a regular two-lane highway. It's two lane, but it's two lanes for two Fiat 500s. It's not. Yeah, there may be a time when you feel more comfortable. You know, I'm just going to pull off to the shoulder and let this bus go around me. And don't be scared. But there are tour bus out there, but these roads are extremely narrow. Mm-hmm. Also, another thing when you're driving a car to be aware of, motorcycles are everywhere. And motorcycles what we would think are dangerous things. And they'll come up right behind you. They'll drive in between two cars on the A1. To watch a scooter or a motorcycle do something that is dangerous, don't be shocked. That's normal driving. It's very common. So when you see motorcycles coming, understand that that's a very common way of transportation in Italy, and they'll take chances that you don't see in the United States on the interstate system. Right. If you do, you would think they're an absolute fool for doing
so. It would be rare here.
Yes.
It would be rare in any major city in the U.S. to see that type of drive.
Now, we've mentioned hill towns, and I'm going to tell a story about when we were in Castellina and Chianti, and I think it might have been the last day, Pat. We were parked in a public lot, and we had gone to... You don't even remember this, do you?
I don't remember the story.
You'll remember this, because we parked in a public lot. We'd gone to the market, and we were getting ready to leave, but the parking lot was at the bottom of a hill, and getting out of the hill, this was like a 55 to 60% grade. It was steep.
Yes.
And I'm a better driver of a manual transmission than you are.
Than I ever will be.
Even I had a hard enough time because we'd get to the top of the hill and then there would be a car coming and I'd have to put on the brakes. You're on such a steep hill, I couldn't get enough gas to let the clutch out and I could not get out of this parking lot. And then there was people coming behind me. And you know, when you let the clutch, it rolls back a little bit. Just look at your surroundings and how you're going to get out of a situation if it's a very steep hill and you have a manual transmission, because it can be quite intimidating as well, as you got to let up on that clutch and floor the gas to make sure that you get that thing out of there. Because, yeah. And if you pop it too quick, the thing
shut off for you. Yeah, and I think if memory serves me, we all had to get out of the car and help you maybe get some traffic directed. And we don't mean to intimidate you, because of all the time we've spent in Tuscany, that happened once.
Yes, and that's, again, one of those memories that will stick with me, because looking back, it's enjoyable and I laugh about it now, and it's really what sticks me when we talk about Castellina. Of course, we stayed there, but that's one of those memories. I remember the hill in Castellina. I remember trying to get out of that. Yeah. So, just remember, driving in Tuscany is fun. It will give you freedom. It will give you the ability to see so many more things than just relying on a tour company with a bus.
Well, and just to have the opportunity to pull off to the side of the road and look at an old farmstead, a farm place that's 500-600 years old, or to stop in a little trattoria. You know, there's so many interesting places that we've passed and we've taken it slow. You know, I can't imagine. Now, any other major driving do's and don'ts that we should let the people know about?
It still's taken me forever to get used to. There's a little clock in the window of a rental car. I never quite figured out what that was for. I think it has to, when you pull into some public lots, you're supposed to put the time you pulled in.
Yes. Parking the vehicle. Actually, you found your lot. You know you're outside the city walls. We've got you there. But pay a lot of attention to the signage as you come into the parking lot. It will tell you whether you have to pay, how to pay for the parking spot, or if you need to set the little dial. There's a little dial on the windshield that lets them know when you pulled into that spot.
And that's probably because they don't want you there all night long. And I remember a lot just on the outside of San Gimignano, which is, it's a pay lot. They let you know right away. You take a ticket when you get in, much like a regular parking lot here in the United States, and you pay when you leave. So it's very simple. Just know that you can drive in Tuscany. You should drive in Tuscany. Don't be afraid to rent a car. Just make sure you're covered insurance-wise, and make sure that you have a GPS. After that, sit back, relax, have some fun, and go exploring. You will not regret it. Of course, when we come back from Tuscany in March, Pat and I will do a podcast, we hope, on our experience with public transportation, using the train system, using the bus system within Florence, and also using the bus system to access some of the hill towns in and around Florence.
Yeah, we've done some of that. We're going to take it to another level and talk to you about it.
Don't forget to like us on our social media channels. Facebook, Total Tuscany. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at Total Tuscany. Follow this podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. And don't be afraid, folks. If you have a question about an upcoming trip that you're taking to Tuscany or want to know the first steps to take on taking a trip, reach out to us on our website, TotalTuscany.com. Hope you enjoyed today's podcast. We'll be back again soon with another story of great Tuscan memories and offerings and services. For Pat Campagna, I'm Travis Jesters. Remember to live each and every day like you're in Tuscany.